We're talking obviously here about the Epstein files, which were supposedly a Democrat hoax. Someone was a victim of a type of ritualistic sacrifice in which their feet were cut with a scimitar but left no scarring. On the yacht, he witnessed babies being dismembered, their intestines removed, and individuals eating the feces from the intestines. He was also graped by George Bush 1. Yeah, the FBI person says, thanks, blank. I didn't realize Bush 2. Okay. What?
Great.
What?
Welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox and him,
the Father.
It's a show where Calvin tutors me in the ways of righteousness, or not. Or actually, it's a show where Calvin grows a moustache and is now smoking a cigar.
I got these were a gift from one of my parishioners. They're very sweet. They're lovely little things. And this was another gift. Got a little lighter there that says Father on it. Had some really nice Christmas presents this year. Bless them.
Dear fans who follow us, can someone either send me or recommend to me some good cigars that don't cost loads of money? Because I love cigars and they cost a lot. These ones cost a lot of money, but the ones I bought in America and Alabama, you could buy like five for $60 or something. And it was like, they were lovely. They were just as nice. I'm not a connoisseur of cigars. I know a good one from a bad one, but you know, anything in the middle range, I'm really happy. So please do feel free to send me all of the cigars. How are you? You haven't trimmed the afro. You said you were going to do it.
I have trimmed it. This is trimmed.
Where?
It's like, it's shaped now. It was too high. It was too big on the top before. So I went and got it shaped up and it's been trimmed. It's down, like, you know, they take the dead ends off or whatever and just helps it grow.
Are you in the Epstein files?
No. You know what? I didn't see anyone that's far right, anyone that was fascist, anyone that's a Christian. All I saw was a bunch of Zionists and Jews.
I'll stop the Zionists and Jews just for a minute.
No. Okay, for a minute we'll stop it, but we'll get to it. We'll get back.
Okay, fine. Can we just, you know, our whole conversation for about the last month has been Zionists and Jews.
I didn't see a single anti-Semite in the entirety of the files, but we'll get to why. How are you?
Wait. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that as well. Right. How am I? I'm fine. My wife decided to drop a vase. So Saturday night, okay, this is how it goes. Saturday night, I'm like, she's stood on a stool in the kitchen, she's not stood on a stool at this point. She's stood at the side and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's assembling these little plastic organization boxes. I'm like, what's that for? And she's like, well, no one puts anything back where it belongs in the larder. And I'm like, they're children. They're never going to put anything back where it belongs in the larder. That's the whole point of children. In the same way as I'm noticing that, you know, things are going missing, which, you know, young people tend to do. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just sit down and watch Landman and have a glass of wine. And we'll do the larder on Monday because it's, you know, day of work and all that. She ignores me. I come and sit down. All right, well, we don't want to watch Landman, so I think I'd probably turn on.
That's great.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, we should talk about that at some point. And the trials in Nuremberg, which we should also talk about. But So I leave her to do it. I'm sat in the other room with the dogs. Blaze is sat directly opposite me over there. Sat in the room and I hear this crash. Now, Lizzie doesn't break things, really. It's not in her nature to break things. I go into the kitchen and it's like an episode of, you know, like a Murder Files episode. There's blood everywhere.
Ugh.
I'm gonna give the audience
a little show the picture again.
Sneak peek.
Nobody needs to see this gash. Honestly. Oh, it's awful. Oh, look at it. Yeah.
I know, poor thing.
But so did she, they have to do that? They stapled it.
No, let's get into the NHS as well. So she does that. I hear a smash. I go into the kitchen and she obviously hasn't screamed because, you know, she's like a cyborg. I mean, under there is definitely
titanium.
No. you know that underneath there are titanium bones. And it's like my CPUs and neural net processor, learning computer. So you know that's what's going on.
I just assumed there was a great screech.
Mm-mm. So I just sort of wander, meander into the kitchen, see the blood bath.
Like, oh, darling, I've just cut my foot. And you're like, well, what?
That's what she did say. So then she's got a foot in the sink and she's pouring water on it. And I'm like, babe, she's like, it's fine. I'll sew it up myself.
On the other hand, when you scalded your leg, I thought you'd killed someone or been killed yourself. The screaming that came from your mouth. When you had to jump in the sink, remember that?
I was trying to kind of move past that. But you're right, you're exactly right. I poured hot oil, I think, didn't I, on my foot, and it really burnt badly, and it was horrible. And I did go, and I screamed, and did the same thing, put my foot in the sink. She was just like, yeah, but whatever.
Wow.
And then I'm like, we're going to need to go to hospital with your foot, because that's a proper cut, as you've seen. So she's like, no, it's fine, I'll sew it up myself. I'm like, love, please, can we just do this normally? And she's fine. So I take it off still. This is the NHS, right? Within 2 days before, I had a conversation about how terrible the NHS is, specifically in Colchester, because it's really bad for anything chronic. So anything that is difficult to deal with and treat, which brings into question the whole idea of the NHS, really, is should the NHS really... Because the treatment we got was exceptional. Walked through the door.
But it's so big.
She was injured. You walk through the door and it's like, we can get her dealt with now in no time at all. It's like, we can stitch up her foot and get her mended. No time at all. But if you've got like the guy who's helping build something outside at the moment, like a really chronic, horrible... sinus condition, it's kind of useless. So he just gets bounced around from department to department to department. But
specialist, or if you just go to ER.
Yeah, in the case of getting yourself stitched up, NHS is brilliant. And I think I said on Question Time in 2020, I think I said that the National Health Service should be the National Emergency Service.
That's good,
So that everybody should just get, like, if you've got a major emergency, heart attack, whatever, you know, just get in and get treated, because they can do that.
At the point of entry, you've just got to get sorted,
It doesn't need a huge amount of bureaucracy, whereas Cobbler, who's got a chronic sinus condition and a sort of strange thing up his nose, like, he just gets referred round and round and round in circles. And then you take that all the way up to, like, transition surgery and Wes Streeting and, you know, trials and all that. You're like, no. Just turn it into a national emergency service, and then I would have a means-tested health service. That's what I would do, and an insurance thing. Yeah. But I couldn't criticise a single aspect of the care, other than the fact that, and this will stay with me, like an image that will stay with me, was there was an old lady who was dying in a corridor, as they do in the National Health Service, and directly behind her was a poster with all of the blue, baby pink and white trans flags. And it was like, are you a non-binary or transgender person who is pregnant? And I was just like, she obviously doesn't know or care what's going on. But I'm just sat there going, if you stuck me next to that poster for my final hours, I'd be fucking livid. I really would. So... And you think of the people that provide our healthcare in the same way as you think that there are, you know, like you read newspaper articles and headlines of like how bad the country is and how terrible everything is. But you never read newspaper articles of how lovely families are and how people have done really well and raised their children. And their kids have gone up a grade and, you know, it just doesn't fill the newspapers. In the same way as the NHS has actually got a load of people in it, and I met a lot of them on Saturday night, who just want to provide good healthcare.
Of course it does, yeah.
And it non-political healthcare. And it reminded me of how essential non-political everything other than politics is, I think, is what I thought. So she's she got back. The guy, I think he was he must have been a West African, Ghanaian or Senegalese or an Ivory Coastian, but I was going for Ghanaian in my head. He was like, "You're the best patient I've ever had." Because Lizzie looked at her body being stitched up and stuff. She doesn't do painkillers. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't do any of it. Right. She thinks the whole lot is evil. So she's getting stitched up in front of me. And I'm like, "Oh, God, that looks
like it." You two could not be more opposite. You're like, "Give me whatever you've got." She's like, "No, thank you. I don't trust that."
But she didn't complain at all. She said, "You're the best patient I've ever had."
She's amazing.
He said, most people are like fighting their, even when it's like numb, they're fighting my foot away. And she's just watching it casually get stitched. Yeah, so we did that. And then we came back on Saturday night. And that was that. And then it's the start of the new week. And I don't know how anyone can convince me of climate change, because this place is a sodden, messy, rain-filled, cold, humid.
Don't talk to me about cold. It's like -17 out here. It's still snowing. It's still coming down. It's still beautiful. I still love it. I bought some bags of sand to put in the back of my truck to weigh it down at the back. But I've got a bit of news. So this time last year, I was sharing a platform at the National March for Life rally in DC, right? And I went to it this year. It was good, but I didn't get invited to speak this year, because last year was almost career ending, right? I didn't do the see how thing. I went, "My heart goes out to you," right? Yeah. Everyone understood that joke. I came on stage immediately after Charlie Kirk, who, God bless him, that was the last time I saw him in person. But I'm sharing a stage with people who do similar things to me, but far bigger profiles, making a lot more money. Like Charlie Kirk's a multimillionaire, right? Elon Musk did the "My heart goes out to you," multi-billionaire, right? I do not have that protection. No. I did lose my church for a while. So I did lose my job. I almost lost my house for a while. I almost got stuck in America with no belongings, no place to live in a foreign land. It wasn't the best time. It's probably close to the worst time in my life, right? Those 3 months where I wasn't able to say the mass. And I didn't know if I was going to get kicked out. We had a serious conversation with, I love my wardens, by the way, best people I've ever worked with. But I had a serious conversation with them where they said, "Look, if it comes to it that, you know, the church has to go a certain direction, you're going to have to find somewhere else to live. Like, you can't live in the rectory." And I'm like, "I understand, but I don't know what I'm going to do." And all my stuff was being shipped over from Britain, so I didn't have any of my belongings. And then I got stuck in Israel, blah, blah, blah. That was the last major cancellation that I faced, right? Hopefully the last one ever. But the point being that I am not in a secure position like these multimillionaires and these multibillionaires. I, as a priest, don't actually get paid a salary. I get paid a stipend, which is a way that they're able to pay you less than minimum wage, right? So it's like the priests do not get paid much money. It's not quite a vow of poverty, but, you know, we get enough to just about survive. Now, Lawrence, yourself, and Canon Father Brett Murphy set up this crowd fund for me. God bless you for doing that. On Democracy 3.0, we could put a link up. We could put the graphic up. "The most cancelled man alive," they said. His bold proclamation of traditional biblical values has often drawn the ire of church authorities who have compromised on the word of God. Could not be more true. I had a very wicked archbishop at the time who was looking for an excuse to sack me, and did as soon as he could without so much as a conversation. But the point being that these guys, you and Canon Father Brett, both basically said, "Let's get Father Calvin into a position where he can continue to speak up for pro-life. He can continue to stand up on these platforms and do his best to put forth this mission that he's been sent on without him being homeless and kicked out in the streets and give a little bit of security." So thankfully, loads of people donated. We got up to $50,000, which is just amazing. I'm so blessed by that. You are all wonderful people. So thank you to everyone who donated. I'll read a couple of the comments. Constance said, "God bless you." Cindy said, "In support of Calvin, who gives voice to the voiceless and values every soul made in the image. Amen." Evelyn said, "Father Calvin, we stand behind you and believe in the work you are doing to spread the gospel and the Lord's love. May God bless you. We are so fortunate to have you in America." There's go and read the comments, because they are. But that has enabled me to get a start. And so I have invested in a property out here in Michigan. So my first time trying to buy a house. So I'm getting on the ladder, but this essentially means it gives me a little bit of security. At some point, I'll be able to, it's a do-or-upper. It's just a little bungalow, but over the next couple of years, I'll gradually do it up. But it means that no one can ever cancel me ever again. As far as instability-wise, I will at least have somewhere to live. I'll have a roof over my head. So I can continue to be the anti-Semitic priest or the Nazi priest or whatever it is they want to call me. I can continue to proclaim the gospel as best I possibly can. And they can call me fascist. They can call me far right. They can do whatever they like, but I'll be able to continue to speak truth to power as best as I possibly can. So God bless every single person who's donated to that. Thank you all. And thank you, Lawrence and Brett, for putting up there in the first place.
God bless. That's so good. You know what your house needs?
What does it need?
A wife and some kids in it.
That's a conversation for another time.
No, I'm just saying. It's all very well, bloke having a house. One of the things I learned from Lizzie being incapacitated, like, she can't do anything, right? So I've gone back to, so I've started doing things and I find problems. This is the problem with men. Men find problems everywhere. So I walk in, I look in the vegetable part of the sink and I'm like, this is a disaster area. Not sink, fridge. This is a disaster area. There's a courgette which is off. So I'm out, I take all the things out, start fucking scrubbing everything. And men just are not good homekeepers because women prioritize. They go, I want the whole house to look lovely. If there's a rotten courgette or a courgette which is slightly, you know, going over into the afterlife, then I'll do it.
But on that, if you want to get some Maris Pipers and bury them out here so I can make some proper English chips.
Well, you can do it. It's not hard. Right. It's certainly.
They seem quite easy to grow of all vegetables, right? Because they pretty much sprout by themselves.
Do you have a garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, potatoes is one of the easiest things to grow in the world. They're the gift that keeps on giving. Also, get a couple of chickens. Gifts that keep on giving as well. I don't know what.
Got some good security set up, and I'm just building it up. I'm, you know, painting it and all that kind of stuff. So eventually, I'll do a little tour, and I'll put it first on democracy3.org, so people who invested, who donated, they can see what's going on and where it is. And
how well, I'm glad that people do, and I think in time, democracy3 will be really useful because it's not going to be. I've never wanted it to be like a, you know, crowdfunder for people who want to. You know, we did it for Lucy Connolly, which would have been and we got what, 180 grand, I think.
Nice.
Nearly 200 grand.
Bless her.
Which was really good. But I really want it, ultimately, I'd really love it for people who want to create projects, like young drama students who aren't woke and who aren't Billie Eilish living on stolen land. Who just turn around and go, you know what, I'd really like to write a script, a play about, you know, this is England, but the good stuff about Britain rather than the constant bad news about Britain and the West that get shut down on X. And I'd like to go put up a crowdfunder for it and, you know, make some, you know, get some donations. You know, 10, 12 grand would put a 17-year-old script writer, that means they wouldn't have to go and do anything. That all the time they would be spending working at McDonald's or behind a bar, they could be spending writing. And that's really what I would love Democracy 3.0 to become. But these things will happen in time, I think. So can we talk about Peter Mandelson?
Which we can do. Okay. But yes, thank you to all the donators and thank you.
Yeah. Yes. But you thank them. You thank them already. They support you. They support you, whether you thank them or not. You know, it's one of the strange things about gratitude. People, you're saying support me, and they are supporting you. I've never really done that. I've never put up a crowdfunder for myself. I've been tempted to a couple of times, but I never have. Okay, so yes, you're absolutely right to be hugely grateful for the fact that. Somebody, a large group of people, it'll be a large group of people as well. I know I haven't looked at the analytics of your crowdfunding particularly, but I know it'll be a large number of smaller donations rather than some guy just lobbing in one thing. that is so good that you are now on the, you're protected, and you're absolutely right to point out the fact that some people, you know, and God bless them, decide to speak out when they're financially protected. Other people speak out when they're not financially protected.
Because it's our mission, it's our calling.
Yeah, and I do think there's a differentiation between those two groups necessarily, and so there should be. But Lord,
from good news to bad news. So God is good, God is great, but there's so much evil in this world, and that's down to us. That's down to fallen man. That's down to sinners, and that's down to demons too. And I think this has probably been one of the darkest weeks in a long, long time. What we've seen is things that we've suspected, and now we know them to be true. One example that, we're talking obviously here about the Epstein files, which were supposedly a Democrat hoax. They're not a hoax. They are out there. We've seen them. We've read the emails. Okay, so some of the stuff is complaints to the FBI, which may or may not be verified, but some of the stuff is genuine direct communications from and to Jeffrey Epstein by high-powered politicians, by celebrities, by big tech. And a lot of it's evil, right? A lot of it is just no way around it. It's just evil. Pizzagate was real, right? We've got people talking about children in ways that children should never be spoken about. And it seems that there was pedophilia, there was child rape, there was murder, and even there's implications of cannibalism, for goodness sake. It's about as dark as you can get, really is.
And do you believe in all that? Do you think that's...
I think it's very clearly happening. And, you know, the Podesta files, the WikiLeaks showed that, and they tried to bat that away as if it was all fake. But the Epstein files backs it up. It verifies it. It validates a lot of people.
The Prince Andrew picture is pretty... That says a fair amount. Bearing in mind, I'm a 47-year-old guy. I've had my son and... young girls and kids around this weekend, and if someone took a photo of me on all fours over one of those girls, I would hope that I'd get a right hook from Lizzie and possibly a visit from the police. I would expect.
So you're talking about Prince Andrew. Let's read that email from Brian Miller to blanked out USANYS. Back in the 90s, Ghislaine Maxwell recruited a girl from a modeling career. Instead of modeling, she was sold as a slave for sex and torture. Prince Andrew was an accessory to her death as he tortured her and me to force her murder. I need to get a passport to identify her. I will need someone to contact the passport office to get an expedited passport. Text blank. Thanks blank. Like, that's just one example among many, many examples. There's one here.
Here's a question quickly for you. What the mother fudger is Prince Andrew doing existing?
All of these people, all of these. There's an email conversation here with the new
NYPD. Not existing. I don't mean existing. I just say.
I know what you mean. There's an email here with the NYPD and the FBI where they talk about someone was a victim of a type of ritualistic sacrifice in which their feet were cut with a scimitar but left no scarring. On the yacht, he witnessed babies being dismembered, their intestines removed, and individuals eating the feces from the intestines. He was also graped by George Bush I. And the FBI person says, thanks, blank. I didn't realize Bush raped him too. Okay. What?
Graped.
What?
Well, I don't listen. Okay. Do I believe that powerful people in the search for some sort of thrill in what is a pretty covered life? You know, you've just described the difficulties in trying to create a sense of financial security. So imagine you've got your financial security.
That's it.
You've got all of the power.
Yeah.
You're so rich that even if you made the worst decision of your life, like you married 20 bad women in a row and had to pay them all child support, they still would, you'd still be the richest person on earth. Where do you get your kits and gigs from if you are?
This is why the Bible says the pursuit of wealth is the root of all evil. Not necessarily wealth, but the pursuit of wealth. Because we shouldn't want to be rich. To be rich is actually one of the worst things we can be, because for a rich man to enter heaven is like the camel entering through the eye of the needle. And what that means is, like, financial security is great. Being able to feed your kids is great. This is all good stuff. But being rich in a worldly, wealthy perspective means that you have nothing to worry about and you have nothing to make you happy. And so once you've reached that, okay, I've chased everything, I've achieved everything, now what? And then they're looking for something to fill the void. And what they don't realize is the void cannot be filled with anything but Jesus Christ. But they're trying to fill it with all these sexual perversions. And they get darker and darker and darker. And research shows this, that, you know, people who get addicted to pornography, it gets darker and darker because they cannot fill that void and they're constantly chasing it. It's the same with sexual perversions in real life. These rich billionaires, multi-billionaires, this is what they are about. Some of it's about the perversion. Some of it's about chasing and trying to fill the void. Some of it is just demonic. And we know that there are literal satanic rituals. There are sacrifices that all these people are involved in. You know, there have been rumors about Jay-Z and Beyonce for years. There have been rumors about Hillary Clinton for years. Like, people don't just, you know, Faustian deals aren't just made up. People do offer their soul or the souls of other people in term for monetary wealth. Jesus Christ was taken to the mount, and the devil himself said to him, "I'll give you all of this if you just submit to me." Of course, Jesus did not submit to temptation, but we are weaker than him. We are less holy than him. And so the devil says to you, "I'll give you all the fame and fortune you want. You just sacrifice yourself to me." People do it.
Yeah. No, I'm of the
belief. It's so barbarous.
I know.
We do have to be careful. I've been reflecting on Padre Pio's words this week, because he says, don't let the sadness get to you, because it will affect your soul and prevent you from becoming holy. And I've had people, particularly young people who've been looking into this a lot, speaking to me about this as well, like saying they can't sleep because it's so dark. And they suspected this stuff was going on, but to know it's going on makes it worse somehow. And I agree. And so we do have to look into it. We do have to expose it. We also have to reflect on the things that are good and light and holy, and return back to Jesus and focus on him. We can't be distracted by all the evil. We can't let it eat away at us.
Yeah, but first of all, it has to be called out. You know, this whole idea of Mandelson being the ambassador to America, he's resigned his position to the Labour Party. Prince Andrew is obviously. And I look at society and I look at everybody. You know, they always talk about the glass ceiling, don't they, feminists? And I think about a glass ceiling for common sense sometimes. And I'm like, if that elite, you know, game of musical chairs that is politics was dealt with in a slightly more interesting way, and it was dealt with on a monarchical level, which is that it's, you know, I get the King Charles is king, fine, whatever. You know, I don't like him and he's not my king. I'd never go and fight or die for him. And I wouldn't actually die for the British monarchy anymore. But my kids would. And, you know, and that's part of being young. That the very least one could do is to turn around and go, let's declare what Prince Andrew is getting from the public purse, from the private purse, from the monarchic purse. Let's declare actually what he's been accused of, or what he's being charged with. Because at the end of the day, if you Google Lawrence Fox, or Calvin Robinson, you're going to get a whole different set of Google search results as you are going to get to Billie Eilish, who's living in a mansion somewhere talking about stolen land.
Part of the files. Someone was saying to Jeffrey Epstein, don't worry, I've corrected your Wikipedia. I've taken the bit about sexual abuse out of there. Like, they protect the evil people are covered. Those of us who are trying to fight evil are the ones who are attacked. But, you know, John Podesta was what? Chief of staff. And he worked for the Clintons and was it Biden or Obama? Like, these people
he's been right in the center of American politics for a very long time.
It's just the same as Peter Mandelson and ours. And we can see the corruption across the board. But the problem is the mainstream media is going, maybe Jeffrey Epstein was in bed with Russia. It's like, have you looked at these files? He literally says, let's give a few examples, right? This is from Jeffrey Epstein. At my dinner table, I asked, why are you right-wing guys so anti-Semitic? One said, historically, we all know it's actually been the Jews behind the government's actually pulling the strings. I said, Like who? And one pointed at me, and they all started to roar with laughter. Me? And one guy said, how do you explain in only 3 days there have been princes, prime, and other ministers, emissaries, plus two presidents of world bodies guilty? Guilty. So funny. Wish you were here. Like, he's admitting that.
But this whole, so, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Do you think we'll ever get to the bottom of who backed and funded Jeffrey Epstein?
We know. He says in his emails, you know, I work for the Rothschilds. The language he uses, this is the way Jews make money and fortune in the past 10 days. Let the goyim deal in the real world. Goyim is a disparaging term for us, yeah. Non-Jews. Goys. Cattle. They see us as cattle. No. Goyim in abundance, he says in another email. Someone emails him, Peggy says, is it going to be 100% Jew night? And that's what he replies. No, there's going to be goyim in abundance. Like the goyim. You behaved just like the goyim. You do not respect. Like, this is the way they talk about us. This is the way they think about us.
Can I ask you another question?
Mm.
If the Jews were in charge of the world, yeah, and they ran everything and everything was done for the Jews, and I've been kind of fairly vocally advocating for the Jewish position in the world, where's my Jewish privilege?
You're not Jew, you're Goy, so you're a useful
Goy. No, I get it, but surely I'd be useful.
Look at how they refer to Tommy Robinson as his example. Like, Lawrence, look at how they refer to Tommy Robinson as his prime example. Cheap at any price, say. Like, they love people who will support them, who aren't one of them, because it's like, that's useful capital. They are on our side. Ha, what a fool. This is the way they look at you.
But do they say, I mean, I'm not pro...
Like in their own words.
I'm genuinely not a person that will support one particular ethnic group over another. I'm definitely, I definitely look at ideas and I go, you know, as Larry Taunton says, ideas have consequences. So I'll definitely look at an idea and say, is that going to be an idea which is conducive and helpful to my life, the civilization I live in? No. Judaism, you know, the biggest issue I have with Judaism is that they don't really believe in God, as far as I can
tell. That's what it comes down to. All of this comes down to.
You're
on the side of Christ, or you're on the side of the demons. Like, you're on the side of good, or you're on the side of evil. That's what it all comes down to.
I would say it's absolutely clear that there's a guy today who's done a thing about Matt Goodwin and said, you know, he's not very British and he's called Jarvinder Singh, I think, or something like that. Like, well, you know, with all due respect, Jarvinder, you know, Matt Goodwin is probably, you know, if Matt Goodwin went to India and wrote an article saying Jarvinder Singh's not very Indian by Matt Goodwin, you know, I kind of simplify it to the over extreme, which is to say there are certain things that I understand to be not right, and I've really gone off Ben Shapiro, which is weird because I used to really like Ben Shapiro. I liked the way he broke down news. I liked the way he was very fast. I liked his annoying voice, and I really liked it. I can't bear the sound of his voice anymore, And I know that he's advocating for the Jewish position well ahead of the fact that he's advocating for the American position. And then I think, well, what makes him different from an Islamist in a way? Because, you know, he's putting his Judaism first and he's trying to make America Jewish. And then I go, well, that's no different from Islamists who try and make Britain Islamist. And it's also no different from Christians who try and make Christendom Christian. So then it takes us all the way back to the simple idea, which is the fact that, well, Britain and the West are indelibly, like, it's a permanent marker of Christianity is on the West. So therefore, I can't argue with. The rest of it is all up for debate for me. Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of interesting stuff in this, and the pandemic stuff is just coming out as well, in that Bill Gates, by name, asked for Jeffrey Epstein to be in charge of the part of this pandemic situation, and there are emails with Jeffrey Epstein talking about planning for a pandemic. Let's involve the WHO and the ICRC. Let's hope we can pull this off. He says it looks like they were planning, and they say something along the lines of we'll make a load of money from this or something. Like it looks like they were planning to gain profit from a future pandemic, whether they were planning a pandemic or not. They expected one to happen, and they were trying to benefit from it. It's all very evil. It's all very immoral all throughout it. But the thing is,
it's fear based, isn't it? The point. Really, and the thing about Jesus Christ, and Joe Rogan said it, and if Joe Rogan says it, who has a very, like, imagine someone who's spent that many hours speaking to people, whether you think that, whatever your views on Joe Rogan are, he is on record now as saying, you know, I've looked at Christianity and I can't pick holes in it. You know, it's not trying to hurt other people and cause pain to other people. It's not... Right. That sort of thing. So, of course,
it's true and it's good, and everything else is untrue. But some things are also evil, and we have the rich and powerful elites literally mentally, physically, sexually abusing children, and even maybe potentially cannibalizing them. For goodness' sake, it's as dark as that. Like, something needs to be done. The child trafficking, it seems, was coming from some kind of honeypot that involved Mossad and the CIA, and Jeffrey Epstein was clearly working on behalf of the Rothschilds. Like, he was in direct conversation with the Prime Minister of Israel. Like, all of this needs to be, some people need to be arrested, and I think anyone that's guilty of any of these crimes needs to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. It is that dark. We can't, like, nothing's happened. We had, the president was saying, oh, it's all a Democrat hoax, it's all a hoax, let's move on. Like, we can't move on. These people need to be arrested, and something needs to be done. You know, the photo of Epstein in his office with the Talmud behind him, minus one gap, with one that he's clearly reading. His bank account was named after Baal.
So how far would you go
Goyim. He told Jews to only hire other Jews who can prove their ancestry because they believe that they're intellectually superior, but also that their souls are made of a better substance than our souls. It's Jewish supremacy through and through. Like, there's more to this than just global elite. There's more to it than just billionaires. It's Jewish supremacy is what we see throughout this. And there is a connection there between the rejecting of Christ and the embracing of these false gods, whether it's Mammon or Baal or Moloch. And the sacrificing of children is something that we have seen throughout history. And, you know, you look into it and you see, actually, we've suspected these things, but we've brushed them off because it's too dark for us to even think could be real. Like, it's a myth, or it's a, you know, derogatory smear. But this is happening now. So perhaps it was happening when, you know, other people have talked about it throughout history. Throughout the centuries, we've heard about this.
I know. I really want to give the fairest hearing there is to it. But I have to say, just on a, I don't know enough about anything, but I don't know enough to say, to go as far as you, or not, you know, it could be knowledge or prejudice, who knows, to go as far as you will go down this road.
Sure.
I do know that instinctively Western civilization and common sense thinking and order and meritocracy and all that sort of stuff is very, you know, intermeshed with what, you know, you get annoyed about, Judeo-Christian values. But, you know, they are Judeo because they did come prior to Christ, and Christ was a Jew and all that sort of stuff. And a part of me very practically turns around and goes, if the right are going to turn on the Jews as well as the left, then I just have a sort of practical issue with that. You know, forget all the
philosophy. I think we should be against anyone that's against Christ. It's as simple as that. We should be for Christ and against anyone that's against Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. I mean, some of this stuff, right? One from Jeffrey, where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video. This is just evil. It's 1-2 Jeffrey here. I give you permission to kill him. He is apparently with, blanked out, he lied to you and he lied to me. And we can actually see who that one's from, that because it was part of the, you can see part of the name. It's from a woman called Susan Hamblin, who ran an adoption agency. Now, she was part of the, someone thought this about her previously, and because she was part of a leak, and she ended up suing the Sun for libel and winning because they couldn't prove it. But now we have even further evidence that, you know, her former adoption agency was probably a cover for child trafficking. This is so dark.
That comes as no surprise that a monster will surround himself with monsters, or herself with monsters, in order to commit monstrosities. I mean, that's not.
But I got to the point of why this is happening. So we've said the Pakistani Muslim gangs are happening because the Mohammedans don't see white girls as equal. They don't see them as human. This is the Epstein network of paedophiles is happening because these Jews don't see goyim as equals. They don't see us as human. They see us as cattle with inferior souls. Like, this is why it's happening. It's at the very core. It's the foundation of their beliefs. And so it's the opposite of Christian beliefs, that every single human is made in the image and likeness of God.
What does your congregation think of this? Do you speak to your congregation about this?
Not often, but mixed views. Well, it depends who I'm speaking to. But people out here have mixed views. The younger you are, the more awake you are, generally speaking. But, you know, we're not goyim as much as we're not kafir. The Mohammedans have it wrong. The Jews have it wrong. Christians are the only ones that have access to the fullness of the truth, which is that every single person has equality of dignity and worth in the eyes of God. None of us are inferior to the point of being cattle or worthy of being graped or worse. It's disgusting. And we need to stand up to it. And again, you know, they've weaponized parts of history in order to make it so it's impossible for you to stand up to it. And we discussed that last week, so I won't go into it now. But that's all part of this. It's all part of this trap.
Yeah, I mean, I find it kind of logically relatively consistent, because I go, well, you know, if I'm going to attack Islam, then I might as well attack, you know, if I'm going to call out Islam for what Islam does, which I don't like, then I should apply exactly the same rules to every other situation. So I'm very happy to do that.
Kanye West is the Jews, right? And what did they do? They took away his deals. They froze his bank account. They took his kids away.
Michael Jackson just sounded like a lunatic, you know?
They make you sound like a lunatic. Michael Jackson said, it's the Jews. They're manipulating me. They're making me bankrupt. What did they do? They painted him as a pedo. Of course, he's probably one of the few in that circle that wasn't a pedo. And they eventually killed him. There's a pattern here. Mel Gibson called it out too, the industry. What did they do? They
it probably would have helped if Mel Gibson didn't call it out while being arrested for drunk driving. You know?
Every time someone calls it out, they get arrested for something or they get framed for something.
I've seen the footage Mel Gibson was faced. I've also worked with Mel Gibson. And if you want to get the message across, maybe don't do it when you're hammered.
I'm sorry, but that's impossible. The point is, you can't be absolutely perfect in order to get the message across, because they will use whatever they can against you to destroy the credibility that you have. That's the point. You, for example, you couldn't call this out. They'd say, oh, yeah, well, he's obviously been arrested for the cameras and the other. He's clearly incredible. Candace Owens calls it out. Yeah, she's clearly crazy because she's got this theory about this, that, you know, like, it's impossible.
Yeah. Candace Owens. Well, I mean, also, here's a thought. Do you think that AI has become... You've been moaning about AI for a while. I've watched you. Yeah. When you'll vanish from my feed for a week. I mean, I actually haven't. I opened Twitter probably once today. I think I spend, since Elon Musk bought Twitter, I think it was a big moment where I spent more time on it. I was like, yeah, great, freedom of speech, blah. Right. Now I spend so much less time on it than I did when I was fighting for freedom of speech. And it was interesting to see that AI now feels like it's become the new censor. So I said, I think I did something along the lines of, you know, the LGBTQ movement is the most... I know you're... So let's just leave your own personal views out of this for a second. Is the most homophobic movement ever, right? Right. And someone then... So, no, the G's, the L's and the G's are being used by the T's and the Q's to further, in Calvin language, to further sully the dignity of mankind, but to turn them from, you know, same-sex attracted people who are sinners into demonic possessed people, you know, whatever. And as always, in all of your responses, all of my responses nowadays, I mean, I'm not a big response reader, but it goes, "Hey, Grok, is this true?" And and Grok says, "No, it's not. LGBTQ is not homophobic." So I then say to Grok, "What does the plus stand for in LGBTQ plus?" And Grok goes, "It's all of the extra gender identities that exist in the world." And I'm like, "Okay, is one of them minor attracted people?" And Grok's like, "No, absolutely not. Not in a million years." And I'm like, "Hang on a minute. You were just talking about gender identities. And now you're saying that minor attracted people aren't a gender identity."
AI is not objective, and it is very defensive, and it always gives you extra context in order to try and give you the liberal view. Say again.
I think I put a lot of faith in AI now. Like, I can't remember the last time I Googled anything. So I will Google, I will AI Grok usually, because I think it's probably the least woke of them all. And I will ask a question.
For information, like, is this
what does the plus mean?
Social media.
And it won't tell me.
Social media has been manipulating the data for a long time. AI is just doing the same thing. We can't trust the data. I've been using AI for, so I've put all, like a great big list of repairs that I need to do at the house, right? And I put it all into AI. So every time I do something, it gets marked off, and it gives me a list of providers to call for, like, whatever you need. And so I'm using it as a tool in that way. But I'd never rely on it for information. People do. People think it's objective and it's truthful, and they'll say, "Grok, is this true? Grok, what about?" That's silly. They're looking at it as an authority. AI is an authority.
Yeah, that reassures me about AI, because AI is only ever examining the sources that humans have put into it. So therefore, when people talk about the fact that we're at the singularity and blah, blah, and, no doubt that they are much further ahead behind the scenes than we are now. But I took a photo of this little patio area outside, and a friend of mine said, "Just take a couple of photos of it and ask Grok to design," because I wanted to cover it. So I could, like, you know, barbecue when it was a little bit rainy, and, you know, make a pizza when it was a little bit cold. And Grok came back with a design. When it's that big, it's that long, this is what you need to go and buy. And I went and bought all the materials that Grok suggested. And I literally have no wastage.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'm kind of pleased with it for that way, but tool, like you say, it's useful as a tool. Okay, I want to do some things, because we've talked about just one thing for the whole episode, which is fine. I like that. And also, I think it's good. These conversations are good, and I will never begrudge them.
Files are the biggest news in a long, long time.
But they never seem to be released. I was talking to a famous journalist yesterday, and she was like, and I was just banging the drum, which I've banged forever, which is like, it doesn't matter who's in charge politically. It's all about how you operate in your soul and how you deal with it. You've been writing about this stuff for ages. You suddenly feel vindicated. You're finding out that everything is completely right that you've been saying for years, but still they do it in front of your face. So it's like, it doesn't matter. The politics doesn't matter. What matters is the person. But the politics is changed by the person. Changes the politics.
If we found out that we had evidence that people in positions of power were fiddling kids, we would have been on our horses with our swords, and we would have taken their heads off. Like, the French would have had a revolution. The English would have hanged them. And now we just sit around and tweet about it. It's insane how...
Well, there's a great scene amongst many... There's a great scene amongst many great scenes in the show Landman, where the drug cartel turns up to try and get money off the oil cartel. And it says, you know, our plane crashed on your road and we lost all of our product, whatever. And the oil cartel people meet the drug cartel people with pistols, because the drug cartel people get pistols out and they're all doing that. And then the guy, the right-hand man of Billy Bob Thornton, who, by the way, is just the sublime actor, turns around and goes, you do realise that half of these people are selling drugs for the drug cartel, right? And he went, Billy Bob Thornton went, one step at a time. Just that it was so good. And also to everyone, I would highly recommend watching Land Man, because the evisceration of wind and solar in Land Man is just beautifully done, to the point where he eviscerates wind so much that he doesn't even get onto solar. He just says at the end of eviscerating wind, he says, don't even get me started on solar. Right. We need to see some questions, because we're 53 minutes in to the Calvin Robinson Goy conversation. Right. Reminder, like and subscribe, please. And if someone who understands the internet could explain to me why 2 weeks ago we got 150,000 people watched us and last week we got 10,000 people watching us, please explain that to me. I'd love to know that. Please buy the merch from the culture stores. Fox and Father follow. Calvin, you got anyone?
My follow is at Rep Thomas Massey. It's Thomas Massey and
Massey.
Are two of the only decent politicians, as far as I can see, in the whole of this country, who will put people first.
That's a good one. My Fox and Father follows is Sunil Sharma, who has started up a YouTube channel and is going hell for leather on interviewing all as many people as he can. He's asked lots of really good questions and he's a really good guy. I think I've probably suggested Ollie London before, but he's a good follow too. And obviously my wife. So follow her, California Frizz. And Lani Dowding.
Lovely Lani, she's the best.
Leilani is the best. Right. Now, apparently I said last week,
because she's far more based than I am.
Well, we should get Lizzie. I might do a reality TV show with Lizzie.
Get Lizzie and Leilani to do a show. Do it Fox and Father, but it's Lizzie and Leilani.
Yes. Priest and Priestess.
Lizzie will be talking about all the natural remedies, and Leilani will be just exposing the globalist elite. It'll be amazing.
We should. I always encourage Lizzie to do more stuff because she's really brilliant at it. But she's, she's far too feminine. Right. Apparently, last week, I said that we should introduce, towards the end of the show, an unpopular opinion of the week.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
I don't remember it either, but it's in the show notes.
It is in the notes, but I just don't remember you saying it last week.
Okay, well, apparently I did. So what's your unpopular opinion?
No, you start. I've got to think of one.
Okay, my unpopular opinion of the week is that, okay, it's hard to express it. Communism is a great idea.
What do you mean? Oh my gosh. You can't introduce this in the last 5 minutes. Come on.
Well, there you go. It's a great idea.
You've got to expand on that. You can't just say that.
Okay. So I went to Nowa Huta, whatever it's called, in Krakow. The square footage of the flats was bigger. The interior design of the shops was better. The food was nicer.
Because it's slave labor, Lawrence. They killed 60 million Christians.
I didn't say communism was a good practice. I said it was a good idea.
No, it's right. Not.
So the way that they made Nowa Huta work was they threw all of their capitalist money at this communist idea to go, look, you can have a free house and you can do all this stuff. All you've got to do is work in a steel plant. Everyone is treated the same. And so I'm saying it's a good idea, which unfortunately is completely devastated by the fact that it doesn't take into account the fallen nature of humanity. So if humans weren't fallen and we were godlike, and we, you know, not only were we made in the image of God, but we literally had the conscience of, of saints, you know, it, communism is a great idea, but in practice, obviously it's terrible. But Nova Uzia, they really gave it a go there. And you now buy a flat there. It's one of the most expensive places to buy a flat in Krakow. And they're like, well, I can't be dealing with the old town. It's impossible to get around. Now, you, a couple of things about Nova Uzia, which is interesting. First underground car parks ever. First cycle lanes ever. In the 50s, they had cycle lanes there. And there's a lot of things that are terrible about it. But if we were all totally pure in soul and pure of heart, and, you know, nemesis, antithesis, whatever, however it works with the, you know, the communist mindset, and that the utopian aspect of life is that we're all going to end up communist and we're all, you know, we're going to reject God entirely and it's going to be totally, you know, it's all down to us human beings and we all have to be perfect and reject everyone. It isn't. Communism is a great idea. I'll say it. Obviously, it just doesn't work. But there's my unpopular opinion of the week. I think I explained
it. You're right. It's an unpopular opinion. You're right.
Yeah. All right.
My unpopular opinion is that we should ban women from driving. I think there are two types of women drivers, right? There's the one who's like this, right? And she's extra cautious and she's going 10 miles per hour below the speed limit, which is actually why they're probably marked as safe drivers because they don't crash themselves. They cause everyone else around them to crash. And then there's the other one who she's for some reason in the passing lane, but camping in that lane. So you can't get past her and she's not passing anyone. And they are, I don't know, I've not actually figured this out yet, if women drivers either have no spatial awareness, as in they don't see you, or they're arrogant enough to want to avoid you. I think there's like a inferiority complex with women drivers where they don't want to give way to a man or something like that. Either it's either that or they don't see us. Either way, it's not good, right? And it's awful. Women drivers are just awful. I think they should be banned from driving.
Well,
good
potential
judgment driving around.
It's an unpopular opinion. Lizzie is an incredibly to the point of me going, can you calm that down when you're driving? Like, she's just like, oh, there's room in there. And also, she's in the truck, so she's like, bush, I'm in. So she doesn't suffer from that thing. Larry pointed out to me that sometimes you'll find that the more liberal a woman is, the more they'll hog the passing lane. And I think there's probably a study to be done there. But women drivers, my mum, bless her, I remember this. She used to go, whenever my dad was driving, you know, and you'd do something even mildly, you know, edgy as a driver. So, you know, but I don't know.
But 10 times out of 10, I can identify a woman driver. You're like, that's a woman right there. You can see that they've got too much space or too little space or they're not letting people in. Or you can 10 times out of 10, you can tell it's a woman driver. It's awful.
Well,
although I did make a mistake today, so it's 9 times out of 10. Today on the way back to the studio, I made a mistake. I thought it was a woman driver because he was in the passing lane, wouldn't let anyone round. Turns out it was an old man on his cell phone. You shouldn't be using your mobile phone when you're driving. So that's the exception, which proves the rule.
Well, the good news is that we're going to have a lot of comments from this episode. That's the good news. And the other news is that you're, I like it, you know, think what I'm, who was that guy, you know, that guy who did the Erica Kirk video. Sorry, I just want to finish on this random point. Did you see it? He's
the comedy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was great, wasn't it?
Outrage from everyone was like, oh my God, it's terrible and it's awful. And I'm like, the minute someone says something's terrible and awful, I want to watch it immediately. I just immediately want to watch it. And I just thought, you know, get over yourself, guys.
I'm going to give this as my second unpopular opinion because I tweeted this out recently. Until relatively recently, society had certain expectations of people in mourning. For the first year, widowers would typically wear black clothing, avoid bright colors and jewelry, and they would withdraw from social events. How times have changed. That's a totally unrelated comment, but that's my second unpopular opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that finding a wife for Calvin is going to be...
I have a different location.
Did you hear the laugh came out? Did you hear it? Right, pray us out, dude.
Let's pray. So today, as we record, is the saint day of Saint Blaise. And I like this one because we, in church, when we celebrate Saint Blaise's Day, we have candles and we bless people's throats because he's the saint responsible for healing your throat if you've got any kind of ailment with your throat. And that's because he was considered a holy man at the time. He did lots of healings, lots of Christian healings. But there was someone who was dying, who was choking to death on a fishbone at his feet. And this child was instantly cured by Saint Blaise. So let's pray today's collect. O God, who makest us glad with the yearly festival of Blessed Blaise, thy martyr and bishop, mercifully grant that as we now observe his heavenly birthday, so we may likewise rejoice in his protection. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hang on a minute. Blaise. You're Saint Blaise, too.
Saint Blaise.
Look at Saint Blaise. And that's
Love Blaise.
That's Saint Snickers, and that's Saint Rhea.
Where's
Hello,
Sparky?
Blaise.
Blaze! Oh, he's such a sweet boy.
Blaze
is the most gorgeous dog that you have.
I know. He's also, this time of night, Blaze is like, excuse me, when are we going for a pint? Because he gets, I've got a bag of biscuits down there, down the thing.
He went okay, for, take him for a pint then.
I took him for a long swim today. I didn't get in, obviously, but this one, world's cutest dog, but she's a bit of a god.
Where's my Maggie?
She's in the other room. You got Rhea there.
Is Sparky still doing okay? He's like 100 years old.
Yeah, no. I mean, he chases after a ball like it's going out of fashion, but he's not going to. I don't have a feeling that he's going to be around forever. He's definitely...
Yeah, you can say that for about 5 years. I think he's going to live forever.
Yeah, maybe he will. I don't know. I just love them. I love being with them. And I love the smell of the salt on their... When they go swimming in the sea, the smell of the salt on their fur, like it, compared to a London dog where you smell them and you rub your hands and your hands, you can literally rub dog like something off of your hands. And it's like here, they're so clean and lovely. Anyway, I love you.
You too, brother. Have a good week. Thank you all for watching.
Thank you for watching. God bless.